This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1977.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour.
Boys and girls for Jesus, this our earnest prayer. Boys and girls for Jesus, home and school and play and everywhere. We'll tell the world of life in Jesus. He is all our song. There is all you need in Jesus. Won't you come along?
And now, here's Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie.
Hi there, my friend. Come on in. Pull up a chair or just take a seat on the floor. We've got some things we want to share with you, like good music, a quiz to test just how smart you are, and we'll have a story. Nope, that's wrong. We won't have a story. We'll have two stories. They're short ones with a good lesson in each story. We'll get to the first one right after we sing a bit. Hey, kids, name some different kinds of bells for me.
Doorbell.
Dinner bell.
Wedding bell.
Liberty bell.
Cowbell.
Church bell.
School bell.
Jingle bell.
Joy bell. Joy bells are ringing in my heart and singing. God hath given to me a glad new song.
That reminds me of an old hymn about joy bells. Sing a verse and chorus, cousins, and remind our listeners that our joy can be their joy.
You may have the joy bells ringing in your heart, and a peace that from you never will depart. Walk the straight and narrow way, live for Jesus every day. He will keep the joy bells ringing in your heart.
Those joy bell songs by the cousins fit right in with 9-year-old Anne's song, If Your Heart Keeps Right. Listen.
If the dark shadows gather
wasn't right. You know what his problem was? You know what was wrong with him? Well, you'll find out right now as we have our first story. This boy's problem is the same as a problem lots of other kids have. Even kids who have accepted the Lord Jesus into their lives, kids who are Christians. What is the problem? Well, let's find out as we have the first story called Birds of a Feather. Jeff Jackson had developed a bad habit. He told lies. In fact, every time he thought telling the truth might get him into trouble, he would tell a lie. But soon he found that telling lies was not the solution to the problem. For the more lies he told, the more complicated his troubles became. Just now, he has been called in from his play by his father. Jeff's heart skips a beat when he sees that his father looks very angry.
Did you want me, Dad?
Yes, I see you're out playing in the yard. I thought you were going down to the corner and play ball with the boys.
Well, I did go down.
Well, then why did you come home so soon?
Jackie wasn't playing fair. I just decided to come home.
Well, Mr. Smith down at the corner just called me. He says his window was broken by a wild ball. Do you know anything about it, Jeff?
No. I guess it must have happened after I left. I didn't see any broken window.
Well, Mr. Smith says he was watching. He says you were up to bat, and you hit the ball through his window, and then all of you scattered.
It wasn't me. Jackie broke it.
I thought you said you weren't there.
Well, I wasn't, but...
Now, then, how could you know that Jackie broke it, huh? Come on, Jeff, admit the truth. You were up to bat. You hit the ball through Mr. Smith's window,
But, Daddy...
Now, look, Jeff, if you tell me the truth, you won't get a spanking. But if you keep on lying, you'll get the strap, young man.
Remember, you promised, Dad. Yes, I did break the window.
Last week, you didn't know who blackened Tommy's eye, but Tommy said it was you. The other day, you didn't know who picked the icing off Mother's cake. Mice, you said, did it. Well, there was chocolate icing around your mouth. It's getting so your mother and I can't believe a word you say. Now, why are you such a liar, Jeff?
You shouldn't call anybody a liar. It's a bad word.
It is a bad word, I agree. And you should not use the word carelessly. But when a person tells lies, he's a liar, no matter how bad it sounds.
You shouldn't say a person tells lies. They tell fibs or stories, but not lies.
What else do you believe about lying, son?
Well, if a fib isn't very bad, it's a little white lie.
Well, you just remember this, Jeff. There are not several shades of lies, white ones, gray ones, and so forth. All lies are sin. And lies are not fibs or stories. They are lies. If you called a rattlesnake a lamb, would that make him any less deadly?
Well, I guess not.
And if you called a stinkweed a rose, would that make it smell any better?
No, I guess a stinkweed's a stinkweed, no matter what you call it.
And a lie is a lie, no matter what you call it. Jeff, when you tell lies, you keep very poor company. Birds of a feather flock together, and one liar is no different from another. You want to remember that it was a lie that Satan told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which caused them to sin. It was lies that Satan told Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. And it was lies that put Jesus on the cross of Calvary, where he died that all little boys who tell lies might have their sins forgiven and be saved from their lying.
I'm really sorry, Dad. I never thought that fibbing, or lying, I mean, was so bad.
Lying never solves any problem, Jeff. It only makes a bad situation worse. And the beauty of telling the truth is, you don't have to remember what you say, in case later on you have to repeat what you said before. As a Christian boy, Jeff, ask the Lord to help you tell the truth always. There are two good verses for you to remember, Jeff. They're in Psalms 119, verses 29 and 30. remove me from the way of lying. I have chosen the way of truth. This problem of lying is one that lots of kids have, as I said. Not long ago, after one of my meetings, a boy about 11 years old came up to me and said, "Uncle Charlie, I'm a Christian and all that, but I still lie a lot. What can I do to stop?" Well, I gave him several suggestions, but the first one was this. You've got to realize how bad it is, how serious it is. Don't take lying lightly. Since it was our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross, every time we lie, it's just like driving another nail into Jesus' hands. If we really love him, we'll do our best to keep from telling lies. Our Radiant Rachel has a good song that fits well here. She tells us why she loves Jesus.
I love him because Jesus first loved me, left heaven's glory for Calvary, there dying that I might from sin be free. That is why I love him. That is why I love him. No one is above him. In heaven he's preparing a place for me. That is why children and all they do, in trouble and sorrow gives courage new. That is why I love him. That is why I love him. No one is above him. In heaven he's preparing a place for me.
This would be a good spot to stop and pray together.
When I pray, I will pray for you.
Lord Jesus, we just want to pause a moment and tell you that we do love you. We love you because you first loved us. But then we remember that the Bible tells us that if we love you, we'll do what you say. We'll do those things that are pleasing to you. And so we pray that you'll help us to keep our tongues from lying, to keep our feet from going to those places we shouldn't go, to keep our mind from thinking about those things that we shouldn't think about, and to keep our tongue from saying those things we shouldn't say. Help us, we pray, to live in a way pleasing to you. We pray for all the boys and girls who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I do believe if we hurry, we'll have time for a quickie quiz.
It's quickie, it's quickie, it's quickie, quickie quiz. Where the boys get the girls, so we're all in a whirl. It's quickie, quickie quiz.
Quickly choose up teams at home to see if you can beat the teams we've chosen here in the studio in a completely unrehearsed quiz. We have some of our older fellas and gals taking part, three on each team. I guess they felt two couldn't handle the job, but let's see. For the boys, we have Peter, Jack, and Jim. And for the girls, we have Linda, Shelley, and Sue. And let's see, we'll give the first question today to the girls. I think you'll like this quiz. Most teenagers like food, right? Well, since we've got all teenagers in our quiz today, we're going to have foods of the Bible. Okay, girls, what was one of the three fruits the spies brought back from Canaan? There were three different fruits that were mentioned. Shelley?
Grapes.
Grapes is one of them. Right, a good guess, I can see. Okay, boys, Palestine is often referred to as a land flowing with milk and... Jim?
Honey.
Right. Okay, girls, as newborn babes, young Christians are to desire the sincere blank of the word. What is it? They're conferring, shrugging their shoulders. They don't look... Some of the other girls in the choir know. Shelley, you want to take a guess?
Fruit.
No. All right, Jack.
Milk.
Milk is the answer. All right, boys, this is your question. What kind of food did the Israelites find on the ground every day for 40 years, Peter?
Manna.
Manna. Peter, do you know what that word means, manna?
Bread, I guess.
Well, no, it means, what is it? And when they looked at it the first time, they said, what is it? I guess it tasted a little bit like crackers or something like that, but it was very good food, and it nourished them for many years. All right, girls, this is yours. Name two of the three kinds of food in Egypt for which the Israelites longed. Well, in fact, just name one of them, because that's a kind of a hard question. But they said, oh, we miss the blank and the blank and the blank. Do you remember? Oh, we've got one of the girls over there in the choir that knows. You're going to take a guess, Linda?
Meat?
No. Boys, do you know? That's a little harder than usual question. Oh, they missed the onions and the leeks and the garlics. The spicy food is what they missed. All right, let's see. Boys, this is your question. What seed is referred to as the least of all seeds? The least of all seeds. Jack?
Mustard?
Mustard seed, right. All right, girls, into what was Lot's wife turned? Now, that ought to be easy. Linda?
A pillar of salt.
Pillar of salt. Good. Fellas, the last question. What was it that Isaac desired his son Esau to prepare for him? Particular kind of meat that's mentioned. What kind of meat was it? What kind of meat did Isaac desire his son Esau to prepare for him? Now, you guys ought to know this one. Now, Peter?
Venison.
Venison, right. It was kind of a guess, but it was a correct one. All right, that winds up the quiz, and let's see what the score is. We have 2 for the noble girls, but we have 5 for the victorious boys. So the boys win today.
Yay!
Well, that was exciting and fun, wasn't it?
Before we get back to our music and on to our good story, a quick reminder that if you're not getting Keys for Kids regularly, you can without having to ask for it every other month. Oh, we have so many good letters that come in all the time from those who are using Keys for Kids. Now, here's where you write to get on the mailing list for Keys for Kids every other month. CBH Ministries or Keys for Kids, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip is 49501.
Now let's get settled for our second story. Sue helps us get ready by singing our Go Along With the Story song, Love Is Why.
He never said I'd have silver or gold, yet he has promised me riches untold. He never suffered I have not
second story today, written for the Children's Bible Hour by Harry Trover, is entitled, Just What the Doctor Ordered.
The little village of Farmington has only one doctor. He's not the world's best doctor, but I'm certain he's one of the busiest. I know, because I am Dr. Clayton Jones. You know, there's no telling when a village doctor's day begins or ends. Why, calls come all hours of the day and night. This morning, for instance, it was almost daybreak when I heard a thumping on the front door. I wanted to believe that it was just part of a dream, but whoever it was kept right at it. Finally, I got out of bed, slipped into a robe and slippers, and quickly and softly padded downstairs so as not to wake up the rest of my sleeping household. I'm coming, wake up the dead. Well, good morning, young lady.
Hello, I'm Polly Brown.
Brown? Brown? Oh, you're the new family that moved into the old Carlton house across the railroad tracks.
That's right, Doctor.
Yes, I heard that you'd moved in there. Your father's a veteran, off in one of the big government hospitals, isn't he?
Yes, sir. He's been there an awful long time. Dr. Jones, I'm sorry to bother you so early in the morning. My mother said to tell you we are terribly sorry, but she doesn't know what to do, and she sent me to ask if you could please come to our house right away, right now.
Well, I guess I could, but what's so urgent about the call, Polly? Is your mother sick?
No, not my mother, but my little sister, Janie. Janie's been awful sick, and she keeps getting worse. And she cried all night, but now she's not crying anymore. And Mother's afraid she's going to die. Please, Dr. Jones, can you come right away, please?
Oh, certainly, Polly, certainly. Come in for a moment. I'll get dressed, and we'll go right over to see little Janie. And don't you worry, Polly. Everything will be all right.
Oh, I hope so. 'Cause we love Janie so much.
Well, little Polly and I hurried over to the unpainted, tattered little home across the railroad tracks. When Mrs. Brown opened the neatly curtained front door, I saw a clean but sparsely furnished living room. Small fire burned in the fireplace, and before it stood two chairs with a big pillow for a mattress. And on it lay a very little girl. She was very white and very quiet, hardly breathing.
I'm so worried, Doctor. I'm sorry we had to call you at this hour, but I was so afraid. She seems to be getting weaker all the time.
Well, you should have called me sooner, Mrs. Brown. This little girl is really in need of help.
I wanted to call you several days ago, but the truth is, we haven't any money, and I knew that I would have to owe you, and we are strangers here.
Oh, the money is no matter, Mrs. Brown. Never let money keep you from calling me. But your husband, he's a veteran, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is.
Well, you should be getting money from the government, then. Does the government know about your situation?
Oh, yes. Everything's in order, but you see, we had to move from Centerville because we had no place to live. We found this house here. We've been here about 6 weeks, but it took all the money we had on hand to pay for the moving.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was some mistake about our address. The government check, it hasn't reached us yet. I'm sure it will be here soon.
Well, but in the meantime, you need help right now. This baby is just simply undernourished. She needs milk, lots of it, right away, and some cod liver oil and some fruit and...
We just haven't any money to buy it.
And Polly. Polly looks like she needs some good solid food that'll stick to her ribs, too. Now, this is what the doctor orders. I'll write it out, and you be sure to follow it very carefully. First, 3 square meals a day for you and Polly, and all the milk little Janie here will drink. You go to the market and order a complete supply of groceries, everything you need. Meat, eggs, get some flour, fruit, well, just everything.
But, Doctor, you just don't understand. I know that we need these things, but we just don't have any money to buy them.
Well, my credit is good at the market, Mrs. Brown. I'll tell the owner of the store to give you all you need, and you charge it to my account.
We'll pay you back, Dr. Jones. I'll get some odd jobs, and somehow we'll pay it back.
Yes, when the check comes.
Now listen. The best way to say thanks, to pay me back, is by thanking the Lord Jesus for causing our paths to cross in your time of need.
But, Dr. Jones, why would you do so much for us?
Well, you know, Polly, this situation sort of reminds me of what Jesus did for you and me, all of us. We were sick in our sins, like Janie here. Yes, even dying in our sins. We needed something to make us well again. But only the blood of Jesus could give us the life we needed. And we did not have enough money to buy salvation. In fact, there's not enough money in the whole world to buy salvation for even one person. Well, just as you need food and can't buy it, so we all need salvation from our sins, and we can't buy it.
Then how can anyone get this salvation?
Well, God saw our condition. He knew that we were dying in our sins, and He so loved us that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not die, but should have everlasting life. He provided life for us through His Son, Jesus. No, we can't buy salvation, but we can accept it as a free gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ. I think you'll agree with me that the doctor in today's story did a very unusual thing. But really, as Christians, shouldn't we be willing to help others who are in need? If the love of Christ has filled our hearts, shouldn't we be willing to share that love with someone else? Now, maybe we can't help somebody with money, but we can let them know that we care and that we love them. Maybe someone at school has been having a rough time of it, and you could show the love of Christ to that person just by being kind and letting them know that you care. You've been listening to the Children's Bible Hour, a nonprofit missionary ministry. Join us again next week, same time and station, when all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour will again come your way.